الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته الإمام راع ومسؤول عن رعيته والرجل راع في أهله ومسؤول عن رعيته إلى آخر الحديث أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected علماء الكرام, حفاظ of the Quran, brothers and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We find ourselves drawing very close to the end of that season in which business was booming, the tills were ringing, everyone was on overdrive to get the bigger piece of that cake of business and economics and profits. And yes, indeed, it is a time for us to strive and to make that money. But making money, everyone can do it. The more vital and important point for a person who has made that money is the investing of the funds and the control and the management of the money that he has just earned. A person can earn millions of rands, but it can just take him a few minutes or a few moments or a few days and weeks to waste that entire money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. So important for him is the investment of that wealth that he has just earned. In a similar vein, is marriage and our marriages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with children. It's not only about making children and having children. Rather, the more important point is the investing of these children. That's how we utilize this bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to succession planning, with regards to future building, with regards to building a future ummah. This is the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us. This is a believer, someone with foresight, someone who sees beyond his nose. He sees the bigger picture ahead of him. It's not only about me making money, but about teaching my child how to utilize that money after I am gone. It's not only about me driving a luxurious car, but about teaching my son how to earn that car, not just give it to him. So this is important for us as believers, which was the rich legacy of the Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam and the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is that theme that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted throughout the different pages of the Qur'an Kareem, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, that what was their worry and concern for their child? وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam summons his children. He calls his sons. He has consult with them and he tells them, listen, my parting advice and my worry and concern for you is your deen, that you should not pass away except with deen. This is the greatest of treasures and assets each one of you should thrive for, should earn, should make an effort to gain, is deen. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ At the throes of death of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, what was his worry and concern? إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن بَعْدِي. He never called his son and said, listen son, this is an investment that I've got in this place, I forgot to tell you all. And this is money I got in this bank, I never ever told it to mummy, because she'll spend it. Remember there's money there also. No, he was worried and concerned, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن بَعْدِي. What route and what path will you follow after my demise? That's my worry and concern. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Luqman al-Hakim. That how did he advise his son? He says, Ya Bunayya, with words of love and compassion. He says, oh my beloved children. Not just, oh my son, oh Ahmed, oh Muhammad, oh my beloved child. Oh my most beloved child and son. And he gives advice. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions throughout the Qur'an al-Kareem. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your worry and concern for the salah of your children first. And then also for yourself. Also for yourself. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourself and your family and your children and your offspring from the fire of Jahannam. It's not only about yourself. It's also about the children, making an effort for them. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam so beautifully has mentioned that kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Each one of you is a shepherd and is responsible and will be questioned with regards to his flock. Now the question comes that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that even the father, he is a shepherd. Now why did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say shepherd? He could have said he's the head of the house, he's responsible. There's many other Arabic words that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have utilized. Why did he say that each one of you as a father is a shepherd? That number one, a shepherd is that person who's vigilant. He's always all eyes watching, very watchful of exactly what's happening to his flock. He may be on the phone, he may be talking to his friends, but he will always steal a glance at his flock and see if everything is fine. Everything is okay. There's no threat, there's no fear, there's no attack on my flock. This is a father, always worried and vigilant with regards to his children. He doesn't just put those dangerous devices in their hands. He doesn't just put it into their hands, whether it be a phone, whether it be a computer. Rather, he checks up with them every now and then, vigilant that the computer is not in one secluded area of the house. It is in an open lounge or dining room where everyone can see what is happening. The father can walk past, then he will notice what is on the screen. Nowadays, that is even on the palm. Now, how do you check that? So he's very, very vigilant. He's watchful. He calls his son. Bhai, you did your work? You did your homework? He calls his son. Have you performed your 5 salah for today? I woke you up for Fajr salah. Did you come to the masjid? He checks on his children all the time. He's vigilant. And what is a shepherd? Number two, a shepherd is that person who's not all the time with his flock running around them. He gives them that certain degree and percentage of freedom. Meaning that the father will give that little freedom to his children within limitations and within boundaries. Yes, he'll give that little freedom. Why? To teach them leadership and qualities. To teach them how to be responsible. Sometimes you'll have to give over some responsibilities and see how they fare in it. So this is a father, he gives those responsibilities. And then when that shepherd comes back, when he returns, then he takes count of his flock. Then there's a report back. There's kalguzari. Similar is the father. He allows his son. No problem. You know, go with your children, with your friends. We are going for swimming. No problem. Go for a swim. Go to the beach. Where you want to go? Within limitations. They don't go for holidays on their own. That my son is gone alone for holiday to somewhere in the south coast. Oh, Amshlanga. And you don't even know anything. He's staying there with his friends. And you don't know. He's in one hotel. You know the room number. Everything else you don't know. What's happening at night? So you don't... It's within limitations. You give them the little freedom. And then kalguzari. You ask him, bhai, where did you go? What time you all went? Obviously, you don't pester. You don't all the time nag. But just a general, just for them to understand, my father is worried about me. He's checking on me. He's keeping tabs on me. And then number four, if anything has to happen to that flock, who's responsible? If anything happens to one of the sheep or any of the animals in that flock or that herd, who is responsible? No one else but the shepherd. The master will ask him, what happened? What happened? You were responsible. You were on guard. This is exactly what we are saying. We as parents, we are responsible for our children. Allah will question us with regards to whatever happens with regards to our children. It's not the Mawlana that's responsible. So often we get this. Mawlana, we don't know what you're doing in madrasa. My child is getting from bad to worse. What you're doing? You're wasting time. We giving you Saturday. What you're doing? Na'udhu billah. This is my responsibility as a father. My, that ustad, that hafizab, that apa, that Mawlana, whoever he is, he's doing us a favor by teaching deen and taking care of the child. No problem. What percentage of time is with the ustad and what percentage of time is with the parent? You do a quick calculation. How many hours with that ustad? How much can that ustad do? It's our responsibility. It's time we took that responsibility. We pulled up our socks. We took it seriously. It's very, very important. That is why they say that upbringing of child is not, of children is not something natural and inherent in everyone. It's a skill and an art. It's something to be learned. It's not something to shy away from. It's something you have to go to people. You have to go to people who are masters in the field. Go to whoever it may be, some alim or some person, whoever is with regards to children's psychology, etc. You go to them and find out, this is a problem, how do I solve it? This is a stumbling block, how do I overcome it? Find out all these things. Everything, it's something to learn. That is why, on the lighter side, they say, you need to know what to say and how to say with your child. Very important. You need to know what to say and how to say it. One day, the mother was teaching the child manners. So the mother told the child, listen, the child used to always speak up dirty things from the floor, always speaking out. So the mother told the child, you don't pick up old and dirty things from the floor. You heard? This is my golden advice to you. Anything old and dirty, don't pick it up. So this is that golden advice that's stuck into the child's mind. Dirty and old things, don't pick it up. One day, Nani was in the kitchen. She was busy making some food. She was dirty. As she was walking to the room, she fell down. She's asking this child to please pick me up. I fell down, I'm hurt, pick me up. Not picking up. So anyway, mother came complaining to the mother, your child, don't even worry about me. Your children are like this and they like that. So what happened? Why you never pick up Nani when she fell down? You told me old and dirty things when they fall down, mustn't pick them up. So yes, we need to know how to say things and when to say it. Anyway, we find that in due proportion to our efforts, will we see the fruits and the results. According to your investment, will you see the profits? So similar with regards to our children, we have to know how much we are investing. In due proportion, will we see the fruits of our children? The children of today, the adults of tomorrow. The students of today, the teachers of tomorrow. If you want a slight idea of what would be our future, if you want to know what's our future, take a peek into our youngsters. These are the leaders of tomorrow. Count how many youngsters are coming for the Fajr Salah. Count how many are coming for the Fajr Salah. See how many are so active with regards to deen. Then you will see what is our future with regards to our deen, with regards to our salah, with regards to everything. This is very important that we teach them. The something becomes real with the child when they first-hand experience it. It's not about telling the child, hey, you must read all five times salah. It's about calling the child with love and affection. Bye, let's go now. Better, let's go. We're going to the masjid. Hold him by the hand with love, with affection. Come together to the masjid. Come together to the masjid. When you are sitting calculating your zakat, example, who does this? When you are sitting calculating your zakat, call your son. Obviously not the full amount. He may be worried and he may start spending more. My father got so much also. So anyway, so obviously you'll sit. You sit with the child and say, this is how we work out zakat. You see, the shop, this is the goods. This is my liabilities. This is assets. This is the investments. Sit with the child. So one day he knows, you know what, I sat with my father and I know how zakat has to be calculated. Later on he will know how to calculate that zakat. This is very, very important with regards to every aspect of our deen. It's not only about telling it to them, about doing it together with them, experiencing it with them. We find that there are so many incidents, just a few to mention. That one day there was one youngster, his mother was taking good care of him. So his mother told him that he was going to one far off place to go and study, and his mother gave him some money. And the mother put that money into his belt around his waist. She sewed 40 golden coins on the inner pouch of that belt on his waist. And she told him that as you're traveling and going to learn deen, one very important lesson is don't ever speak lies. Don't ever speak lies. No problem. Don't speak lies. So that stuck into the child's mind. Don't ever speak lies. They were caught, apprehended by some robbers. They were cornered. So they searched the entire caravan and the entire group. And they steal the possessions of the entire group. They come upon the small boy. And they ask him, you got anything? He says, yes, I got. What you got? 40 golden coins. Where's it? Come, I take you. So he opened his waist, the belt. He says, there's it over here. It's sewn inside. You'll find it there. See, but what happened? You spoke the truth and you're telling us where so much of money is hidden. So they took him to the leader. This youngster spoke the truth. So the leader asked, what happened? He says, no, my mother taught me a golden lesson. Never speak lies. Never speak lies. This robber thought to himself that if this child can learn one lesson from the mother, how come I'm not learning the many lessons from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He changed his life for the better. And who was this youngster? Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullah alayh. Look at that. One quality of not speaking lies. And today the Jamaat has to knock on the door. The father will tell the son, tell them I am busy. Tell them I'm not at home. So the son, he knows now we can't speak lies. Certain situations we can't get away. So the child will come, Papa said also he's not at home. MashaAllah. Anyway, this is for the better also. We met one Amir Saab. Wallahu alim, he was the Amir of California or New York. Stand for correction, one of the two. But we met him in Nizamuddin. He was saying, what made you come become the Amir and change your life from such, you know, 180 degrees or 360 degrees, you change your life for the better. What happened? So he says that one day that the Jamaat came home. So the son came and told me Jamaat is here. So I told my son, go tell them that I'm not at home. So the son went and did the same thing. My father said that he's not at home. He felt so embarrassed from that day. He took Jamaat and the effort of Tabligh to be his own. From that day onwards, that was his turning point. That how could I speak a lie? But anyway, this is what Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullah alayh. How many of us know the life of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh? Many people nowadays, when we open up Bukhari Sharif and pass fatwas, how much do we know about his life? And what we're doing? We're reading the translation of his works and his magnum opus of Bukhari Sharif. And we give fatwas and rulings and we try to practice. That's besides the point. Anyway, how many of us know about his life? Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, when he was born, his father passed away and he was a very young boy. Very young boy. His mother took care of him. His mother took care of him. And when he was born, he was blind. He was blind. How many of us know that? He was blind. It was the fervent du'as of his mother, heartfelt du'as of his mother, which took him to that station and that level. His mother kept on making du'a for him. So this is another important aspect, that the amount of du'a that we give and invest for our children. Everyone's there to make du'a for many things. How many of us make du'a for our children? This which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. That du'a is the du'a of the pious. That they keep on worrying and they're concerned about their progeny and about their children. Worry and concern. We speak about Sheikh Nizamuddin Awliya rahmatullah alayhi, a great pious person of his time. When he was approximately 4 or 5 years old, his father had passed away. And he lived in absolute abstract poverty with his mother. Very, very poor. And every time there was no food in the house, his mother used to tell him that, beta, today we are the mehman and the guests of Allah. So he took that to heart. And every day it repeated, his mother used to tell him that today we are the guests of Allah. And that always stuck into his head, that no food at home, we are Allah's guest. And he always was spoken about, meaning his mother always spoke to him about Allah, Allah, everything is Allah. Everything is Allah. So once in their life, many years later, for many days, many months, there was food in the house. He cried to his mother. He says, Ma, when are we going to become the guest of Allah? We have so much of food. When are we going to become the guest of Allah? He lived and he was brought up in poverty. When he became the wali of his time, then his dastarkhan used to feed double the amount of the dastarkhan of the king of the time. When the king got to know about it, and the king says, he is feeding more than us, stop all stipends, all money, all gifts, all salaries for Nizamuddin, awliya. Don't give him anything. Don't give him anything from today. For when he heard that, Sheikh Nizamuddin awliya, who was brought up with this yaqeen in Allah, that only Allah does, He was pining to become the guest of Allah. When he hears that, he tells his courtiers and he tells his attendants, today we will serve double that amount. The king must give us less, but we will serve double. Allah will give us more. So this was that yaqeen that his mother brought him up with. His mother, now when does tarbiyat start? Tarbiyat is not something that's going to start when the child is 5, 6, 8 or 10, 12 years old. No, according to Sharia, your tarbiyat of the child starts from the time the couple go into union. From the time you cohabit with your wife. From that time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, riwayat of Bukhari Sharif. That when a person goes to his wife and he recites the dua, Bismillah. Allahumma jannibna shaitan wa jannibi shaitana ma razaqtana. Fa in quddira baynahuma walad, lam yadurrahu shaitanun abada. Read the dua when you have relations with your wife. Shaitan will never ever be able to affect the child of yours. The child is born, what do we read? We make adhan and we give the iqama into the ears of the child. Why do we do this? The child doesn't understand. Allah is teaching you, whatever is happening, the child already is going to affect the child. Doctors are saying when the child is in the womb, then the sounds that are penetrating and going into that womb is affecting the child and the development of the child. That is why if there's Qur'an-i Kareem, there's so many incidents of people who later on became hufaz of the Qur'an very quickly. Why my mother used to read a lot of Qur'an when she was pregnant with me. That's why my hijz took very quick. There's so many incidents. Obviously we cannot go into all of them. But just to end with one, just a few points. Number one, is that what we need to do now is give the time. No problem, your child can go to whichever school he wants to go. He doesn't want to go to Islamic school, Muslim school, whichever school, no problem. Send him whichever school you want. But make sure he goes to maktab. Make sure he learns his Quran and his surahs and his duas and his ahadith and his fiqh and his history. He knows all these things. Make sure, very, very important this is, that when a person passes away, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاسِ. Every of your actions cease except three. صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ وَعِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ وَوَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُ لَهُ. And a pious child to make dua for you. That will continue. The famous incident of that father who passed away. Someone saw him in a dream, one pious person saw him in a dream and he's suffering in the qabr. Few days later, he sees that the father is smiling and he's enjoying himself in the qabr. He goes to the house and he finds out what transpired in the last few months. He says, yesterday, the child and his son just was enrolled into maktab and he learnt Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That was sufficient to whirlwind the mercy of Allah, which alleviated and removed that punishment and the adab of the qabr for that father. Just Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Two last important points for us to understand, if it's true. Number one, we need to give utmost love to our children. Look at Nabi Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. Luqman Hakim, he says, Ya Bunayya, with love and affection he addresses. One day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam takes Hassan or Hussein radiallahu anhuma, one of them, and he kisses them. One person sitting by, he says, Ya Rasulallah, you kiss children also? I got 10 children, not one of them I have kissed. مَا قَبَّلْتُ وَاحِدًا مِّنْهُمْ. Not even one I have kissed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَن لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. what do I say? The person who does not have mercy will not be shown any mercy. To kiss the child. When last have I hugged my child? Even if he is 18 years old, even if my daughter is married with 3 children, to hug her and to tell her, I love you for the sake of Allah. Do we have that communication? Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam ordered to slaughter his son. He doesn't call his son. He says, listen, I have to slaughter you. Don't ask any questions. By quickly read namaz. Why? Because you have to read namaz. No. There's wisdom. You have to learn. There's an art to do it. So he asked his son, listen, Allah has inspired me via a dream that I need to slaughter you. What is your take on the matter? Oh, my beloved father, that's your approach? Slaughter me now. Don't wait. Don't blink an eyelid. Slaughter me now. If that's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very important. And number two, they say, the best gift a father can give his child. The best gift, this is haunting. This is crippling the ummah today. So many incidents. The best gift a father can give his child is to love their mother. The best gift you can give your child is to love the mother of the child. There's so many children that are suffering. They cannot produce good results in school. Why? Father and mother are squealing at home, shouting at home, swearing at home, fighting for silly things. They do not have peace and harmony between themselves. Mother is on edge all the time. Everyone's worried. There's tension in the house. How do you expect your child to produce results? How do you ever expect? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us, me myself first, to love our wives, to show that legacy, to show that amount of love that needs to be showed to the wife and to the mother. And this will be a lesson for the child. The child will be brought up with love and with mercy. That is why they say, the child can come back with no matter how many A's he wants. But he'll be a failure if he doesn't have one A. And that one A is Allah. He can come with 7 distinctions home also. 9 A's also, no problem. But if that one A he doesn't have, and that A is of Allah, he's lost his exams and failed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to bring up our children according to the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akhir dawan, alhamdulillah.